And if I can just step in for a minute, I'm Ellen Ritter, and I am the Dean of Students for ILCT, and I'm thrilled that you guys are joining us and that Katie is presenting on this issue, which I know is of real concern to a lot of students. There were also a number of questions that came in about how to become a coach, to do coaching programs, stuff like that. So for the people who asked that, which isn't totally the topic of this call, you should be receiving an email from me this afternoon with just some details about different programs and how to get credentialed. And today we're sort of, I think, and Katie will explain it better than I will, but looking towards you know, how do you really make that mind shift? And Katie is an amazing coach who works with a lot of different coaches doing that, which is why we're thrilled she's here today. And I know, correct me if I'm wrong, Katie, that you often work with ILCT students individually as well as potentially in a group to help them make the shift and to move forward. So I turn it totally over to you.
Thanks, Ellen. Hi, everybody. I'm really excited to be here today, and I absolutely love this subject because it really makes us question how we perceive ourselves, our coaching practice, and really the world around us. So the question that is brought up today is, are you becoming a coach or are you being a coach? So we're going to take that question down to the seed level, our mind, our mindset. You know, what is that about us that has us see ourselves as being a coach or becoming a coach? So I kind of want to look into really what the word becoming and being are. And I always love to read from the dictionary. So the definition of becoming is to come into existence, to come to be, to undergo change or development. So it very much is a looking at the future world word, a transitional place to be in. And then when we look at being, it's the state or quality of having an existence. And this is what I really want us to look at today. So by my perception and my definition, I'm going to share with you how I view these two things. And I invite you to ask yourself these questions, how you perceive yourself as a coach, how you feel about yourself as a coach, and really what the essence of you is as a coach. So when I take a look at becoming, the first thing that I want to challenge is our logical mind. We're socialized that we go through step A, step B, step C, to get to our goal. So we're always in a becoming state. So it's very much defined by situation. So that's the outer world. So I'm going to look at becoming as the outer world. As far as being goes, I want to take that to the inner world and looking at the essence of who you are and the qualities that you naturally possess. Now, yes, in becoming, we can put the label coach to it. But our training, our experience, actually the becoming is a refinement, ongoing process that we go through in our development. It's lifelong. So when is the place that we actually be? You can't develop something that isn't already there, first of all. It's already in you. So I want to take it to the place of being, your essence of who you are, and looking at the mindset that you have and how you perceive yourself and separating the situation and your circumstances from who you really are. And when I was going through this and kind of structuring a way to focus on it and really help crystallize how to define these two different mindsets, a story from the New Testament and the Old Testament came to mind. And if whatever religious path you're on, and even if you're an atheist, I think the moral of the story that comes out of this is really, really powerful. In the Old Testament, Moses asked God who he was at the burning bush, and he said, I am. And in the New Testament, when they came to get Jesus to take him to trial, they asked him, "Are you Jesus of Nazareth?" He said, "I am." And when he said that, they all fell over. So that story came to mind to me, and I was really thinking, these are really strong statements of being. But really, if you take a look outside of that, what was it that that statement had? Why was it so relevant in those particular passages? There's all kinds of ways we can look at it, but when we look at it in the sense of communicating, and I am being our essence, that when we connect to it, there's a power and an energy that comes out in our communication. It comes out in how people perceive us. It comes out in how effective we are in our skills. It comes out in our confidence. It comes out in our listening skills. There's something really powerful about I am and being. And so the question that I throw out to you today is, where in your life are you becoming? And where in your life are you being? So there's your preaching to start off the call, by the way. But anyways, what we're going to do with this call is we have several questions that came in about branding and about marketing. So I'm actually going to save those calls or those questions for later on in the call, because I want to really start to dig in to some of the questions that are really, really relevant between becoming and being. Because in order for to have successful marketing, successful strategies, successful branding, that's going to start on the seed level, which is your mindset of becoming or being. So the first call or the first question that I have here is by Carrie. Aishi, are you on the phone? And you can unmute by is it #6 or *6, Ellen?
It's *6 to unmute, okay. And then remute when you're done.
Okay. So is Carrie on the phone? Carrie,
yep. I'm here.
Hi, Carrie. How are you today?
I'm good. It took me. I was muted on my own phone and then muted on your phone. So, so how do I remute then? When I so *6 to unmute. What is it to remute?
It's *6 as well.
Oh, it is. So, okay, great.
So the question that you bring up here, which is very relevant to mindset, is what if you still want to be a therapist for clients that need a therapist and a coach for those that can be coached? So I'm going to ask you a question about your situation.
Sure.
So I take it you're practicing right now. I assume that from the question.
I am.
What brought you to that question? What are things that are happening that brought you to that question?
Well, I am a trauma therapist and art therapist. I teach at a graduate school, a transformational graduate school, using art therapy. And I really love doing sort of the deeper early work with people who have some pretty serious emotional obstacles to overcome in order to then move towards being coached. So I really find myself liking working with people. I have quite a few clients now that I initially was their trauma therapist, and in the first year, that's a lot of what we did. And now they've become coaching clients. So I've really been able to take them through that whole developmental process, and I really value the skills I have as a transformational therapist. Yeah, so but at the same time, it leaves this huge, like, well, so now how do I put myself out there? I am getting ready to release a book and put up, renew my website. And so I'm just really grappling with the question about, well, what is it that I really want to do, and how am I going to market myself? Because I did find when I was doing exclusively coaching, I missed some of those deeper places that I worked as a therapist. So I want to incorporate in. And when I say deeper, I mean people are in a darker place early on. And I sort of miss some of that work.
So how do you see yourself right now in your essence?
I see myself as a transformer. Like, I see myself walking with people through those early stages of darkness and really shedding the light, but also getting them to be clear about, as the darkness dispels, where they really want to head. So
Right. That's
what I would say. I see myself as a transformer.
And it sounds like you're doing that already.
Yes, I am.
So for you, the question is it more of communicating that being and who you are?
Rather than labeling myself as a coach or a therapist, is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
Sure.
Let's throw out coach and therapist for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Throw them out. Okay.
Let's just table them for a minute.
Yes.
You use the word transformational.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody had a conversation with you and they walked away from you, what are the three things you would want them to remember about you?
That's a great question. Let's see. What are the three things I'd want them to remember about me? That I tune in on a really deep level to where they are, that I hold a sense of light and possibility for them, or for, you know, just on the planet, and that I think that they would come away feeling like they could trust me. There was something I'm radiating where I'm really, they can trust me.
Trust is a really big one for a coach or a therapist.
Yep.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So let's shift it over to the practical just for a minute, and then we're going to integrate this.
Okay.
So going down to marketing your business,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a coach or a therapist, so from a practical level, how you market yourself, there are a lot of therapists out there that actually offer coaching packages and offer, therapy services, and they kind of define the criteria
mm-hmm.
for that, of what
mm-hmm.
that would fall into. So strategically, that's one way to approach it.
Right.
Now, you are both. This
right.
is who you are. This is integrated. So you could be in a therapy session and use your coaching skills.
Yes.
And you could be in a coaching session being a coach, but have your database of how to take some, you know, have a deeper understanding of how to work in the coach approach to move forward, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep.
So those skills can be used within those frameworks.
Yes.
So when you talk about going to the mindset of being, and you're going to use that in your marketing and your communicating, because that's really what it's about, is communicating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, practically you can separate that out. But where you want the consistency to be
mm-hmm.
is in those three things,
mm-hmm.
that essence to come across in your communication, whether it is a coaching package or whether it's therapy services.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's funny because I forgot the first one. Maybe somebody can remind me. I said trustworthy, that I hold the light. And what was the other one, that I listen deeply? I think that was the other one.
That you go to a deep level.
Yeah. Okay.
And going to a deep level and listening is the best way we can serve any client, whatever type of client we're working with.
Yes. Okay. Great.
So let me ask you this. With what we just discussed, what's the first thing that came into your mind on how to move forward?
Well, I think to really build up a statement around my essence, around being trustworthy, holding the light, and going to a deep level and listening from there. So, and then, you know, having that be the place of entry, and then do consider differentiating coaching and therapy, but with the idea that they're just different stages of a developmental process. They're not separate. And so because some people will tune in to the words coaching and therapy differently, it will mean important things to them. So that's what I came away with.
Right. And they're different frameworks and they're different approach, but they're supportive roles.
Yes.
But the next question that I have is, when you talk about going into that essence, what's going to support you staying in that state of being, that when you're kind of writing out how to communicate it, to be in an authentic place in your writing so that you're really communicating you as opposed to what you think somebody else wants?
Sure. And what would help me stay in that place of essence as I'm writing? Is that your question?
Yes.
I think there's something about, you know, I am an art therapist, so I think visually, and I think something about maybe creating an image that helps me connect with the essence of trustworthiness, connection with the light, and listening deeply. So that's a way, and that could even become my logo, really.
Right.
You know, so tuning into that and coming from that place visually would help me make that shift back into that place as I get distracted by my life at times.
Right. And when we move deeper into a place of being, especially when we're going into a place of maybe new marketing or new strategy, our logical mind always will come in, well, this is what they want, or this is how they'll hear it. And those are important things.
Yeah.
But to keep the principle and the focus on the essence and the being, and let the strategy flow out of that rather than the other way, rather than the situation, rather than the becoming, but from the place of being.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And one thing that I found with all human beings is that whenever we go through that process, you know, our logic can mask its fear of how we communicate.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? The logic can what?
Sometimes our logic can it can be fear masked.
Yes.
Of how we actually communicate that essence and that being.
Okay.
So the question that I would keep in mind as you're going through deeper into authenticity is, ask yourself, is this fully being? Am I fully being authentic? And I think out of there, you'll get a natural flow of strategy.
Okay, great. Great.
So do you have any questions?
No, I think I'll start doodling an image after our call.
Doodling sounds good.
Yeah.
Great, yeah,
thank you.
That was a good question, so thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And there is a question that came in from Jeanette Arnold. Is she on the phone? And you
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Jeanette. How are you today?
Great. Thank you. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
From Arizona.
From Arizona? Oh, love Arizona. So the question that you brought up was, I completed the foundational course a few years ago, but still working as a therapist. I seem to be holding back from fully moving forward into the full-time coaching. What questions should I be asking myself?
Yes.
What question just came to your mind right now when I asked that?
Well, I was considering the questions that you had posed to the earlier participant, and in thinking about what I have to offer, I guess I'm a little bit conflicted because I'm licensed in California, so I don't have a reciprocal license for Arizona.
Right.
And I've been working a lot with trauma also, and really enjoy doing EMDR treatment. But then I would like to move forward in a coaching practice, which I can do here, but then I wouldn't be able to use that type of therapeutic approach. I guess, you know, ethically, that's my understanding.
Right.
Yeah, so my question is, I know it comes from my own inner fear of being successful, I guess, as a coach. And I'm wondering how to overcome that, like making the complete shift to coaching away from therapy.
So you just brought up something really important. You said your own fear of success.
Mm-hmm.
So let's ask about that. What is it about success that brings up fear?
Well, it's really, you know, it's kind of just really not fully trusting in my own ability and relying on, because I have a Christian focus too in my personal life, relying on the fact that I will be successful. And it's also tied into making enough, you know, a basic amount of money too, and that's part of the fear.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take the becoming, the situation,
mm-hmm.
and we peel that away and go to the being,
mm-hmm.
what's there?
Well, for me, the being is that I know I have qualities of being empathetic and a calmness that I know people are craving that, especially the empathy.
Right.
Right. And I know that, I can help people believe in their possibility of change.
So you brought up a word earlier that I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Trust.
Trust, when inferring trust in myself, is that what you mean?
You talked about you want people to trust that. And you talked about trusting that moving into that, like finances, making a living, all that will be okay.
Right.
So I want to take that word trust and turn mm-hmm. it around to your mind and your heart. And use that as a source of connection to sink into that piece of you that's calm and empathetic and really just feel that peace, that energy of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you for 1 second just to feel that right now while we're talking. Just feel the calm. I want you to feel the empathy. And trust sinking into what that feels like right now. And when you feel like you connect to it, let me know.
Okay.
Do you feel like you're connecting to it?
Mm-hmm. It's the calmness part is a little bit more difficult. But the self-empathy is there, so.
So what's that experience like for you?
Well, I guess that it feels more alive than before, just a few minutes before. It feels more alive with inside me.
Does it feel like there's more of a flow within you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does it feel like you?
What was the question? Does it feel like me?
Does it feel like you, who you really are?
Yes.
And how does it feel to be there, to be you?
Well, the fear goes away. You know, and the need to feel like I have some control, that I need to control things is how I should put it. That goes away.
So if you allow yourself to be here more, do you think that would serve you in moving forward?
Yes, I do.
Do you feel more present moment?
Mm-hmm, yes.
You sound more present moment. And what's interesting is when we started this, you stopped talking about the external things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this feels like a much better place to be.
Yeah, you've sunk into that place of authenticity and that place of being. And so for you, as you move forward, when those questions come up about should I do this, should I do that, should I do this,
mm-hmm.
pause and allow yourself to go into this space of who you really are.
Okay.
And be quiet with it a little bit. And I
okay.
think that naturally you'll get an unfolding
okay.
of where to go. And, you know, what you brought up in the beginning is you mentioned you don't have reciprocity as of this point with your therapy license. But, you know, that is an option, is that you could do both if you do get reciprocity.
Yes.
So you could, you know, have two different frameworks that you work into.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, too. And so that's also something I've been considering.
Right. But when you sink into that place of who you are and just accept who you are, accept your being, there's great peace in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a natural flow that comes out of that. It will unfold in our situations.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Because that place of peace that you were starting to feel, that calm,
mm-hmm.
other people will feel that too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So do you have any other questions or anything that comes to mind you feel like you'd like to share?
I can't think of any right now.
Okay. But, you know, that's really a gift to have that calm
mm-hmm.
and that empathy. It is such a gift. And to really embrace that and let someone feel that, that's the stuff that changes the world. So, you know, it's powerful.
It is, yeah.
It's powerful.
You feel emotional, yeah. Very moving. Huh?
Well, thank you for asking that question. I really appreciate it. And
well, thank you, and
that.
I really appreciate it. Appreciate
you. Can do this. You can do this.
Thanks.
So we'll move on to the next question. Is there a Judy on the call? Is Judy Buckland on the call? Oh, I don't hear her. You would *6 to unmute if Judy is on the call. Okay, I am going to ask the question that she wrote down. And if this question is something that you are struggling with yourself, I would ask that somebody just come forward so we can talk through this, because I think that this is a question that a lot of people have. The question is how to overcome the feeling of not being good enough to coach people despite the evaluations and training to the contrary.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, this is Clara from North Carolina.
Hi, Clara. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You're welcome. I had to respond to that question. That's one I'm struggling with over and over, and it's beginning to get the best of me, and lack of a better way to put it. And, wow, I think she sent that question in for me to get clarity there.
Well, let's go for it then. So I think this is a question that almost everybody struggles with at one point or another, because there's always a learning curve in really connecting to ourselves and connecting to our capabilities. So I want to ask you a little bit about yourself. Are you coaching currently right now?
No, I'm not. I, to be what is your name, by the way?
Katie.
Katie. To be very honest, Katie, I'm in and out, if that makes sense.
Okay.
To give you a little bit of my background, I absolutely love and would facilitate seminars, workshops, coaching, rather than eating and sleeping. I love it so much. When I do it, I get extraordinary feedback, and if I offer something else, you know, people are wanting to get involved, but I still have this underlying, I don't know, thought in the back of my mind, who are you to tell people or help people change their lives when, you know, you have stuff going on in your own life that you haven't been able to change? And I think that's the one little piece that aggravates me, and I'm not sure how to work through it. That's where I am with it. Although when I put myself out there and do what I know I can do, be who I am, the feedback is phenomenal. But for whatever reason, I won't push myself forward to do the next quote-unquote gig because of this underlying, you know, thing about doing it well enough. Does that make sense, Katie, what I've just said?
Absolutely. Everything you've said makes sense.
Okay.
And I want to ask you a question. This call, I know I'm being a little more direct to get to the core of things, but just hang with me, okay?
Okay. Okay.
So you really shared your passion. That was so clear. Your energy came through on that.
Thank
so I'm going to be really direct about maybe a mindset.
Uh-huh.
And you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Do you feel like you have to become perfect?
Yeah. You nailed it. And I know that, yes, you nailed it. And, you know, I feel like when I'm presenting or when I'm doing group coaching, I love group coaching better than one-on-one. When I'm doing group coaching, I feel like there's someone in the audience saying, who does she think she is, you know, to tell me the da-da-da-da-da. And I feel like there's some stuff coming from the audience that's not what I want to come from the audience. But yet, at the end, when an evaluation is done, none of that stuff that I've made up in my head is there. So yes, you hit it. And that's not a place I want to be, thinking I have to be perfect.
Do you think perfection is obtainable?
I don't think so. I think it's a comment. Hit your head against the brick wall. And Katie, I'm at my wit's end of how to not do that any longer.
Yeah, those are some pretty high standards there, Clara.
Yeah, they're too high.
So I want to cue into a couple things that you brought up. You said when you're actually doing the group, you have that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But someone's looking, thinking, well, why is she doing this? Or who's she to tell me? Da-da-da-da-da. So when you go in to do group work, what is your mindset focused on? Is it focused on how you'll be received? Is it focused on the material? Or is it focused on the moment? I mean, where is the mindset focused?
My mindset is actually focused on delivering the material.
Okay. That's really important. So am I hearing that maybe you have a higher awareness or sensitivity to your surroundings?
I'm sorry, say that again, Katie.
So when you talk about you have that feeling of other people, is that you saying you have a higher sensitivity to your surroundings?
I don't know. Perhaps that's possible. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Because when we were talking about becoming and being, we were talking about the external world and situations, and then being the internal world.
Yes. Okay.
So it sounds like I'm hearing your internal world is having experience based on how you're perceiving the external world.
That's interesting. That's an interesting point.
And does it feel like that resonates?
Say that again, Katie.
Does that feel like that could be a piece?
Yes. Yes. And also, I think I'm hearing you say I should be tuned in to my internal world more than the external world.
Well, let's get rid of the word should.
Okay.
Let's get rid of the word should, because that implies we didn't do something right.
Okay.
And, you know, just look at it. Okay, this is your process. This is your experience. This is something that's a catalyst to bring you to another place of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at it that way.
Okay.
So that maybe this experience is mirroring more nurturing for being in a space of being. And whenever people say words about a situation or a person, I always like to flip it with a question just to
okay.
see if that feels like it resonates and, you know, it doesn't come from any place of judgment, but more of an observation so that you can find a deeper place of connection if it happens to be true in any way.
Okay.
And you kept mentioning love it, love it, love it. And so I was connecting to the word it, and the question that came to my mind was you. Loving you. So when someone is struggling, and we all do this in different areas of our life at different times, that's very normal.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when that piece of confidence in moving into something that we love might feel a little more fragile. A good question is are we really connecting to that place of loving ourselves and who we are?
That's a good point. Connecting and loving ourselves, loving who we are.
And can you really embrace and love yourself right now? At this moment. Being human.
Yeah, and when you're saying loving yourself, you know, the acceptance piece comes in, and meaning, you know, just accept all of who you are, those, you know, what you may term as imperfect, perfect, you know, whatever, but loving everything. And to answer your question, as I'm thinking about it, I think I can, yes.
So let me ask you this. If you feel like you sink into a deeper place of really accepting and embracing and loving the essence of who you are, do you think that maybe if somebody's not on the same page with you, it won't affect you so much?
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
And do you think and do you think that finding yourself in a deeper place of acceptance with your gifts and even your imperfection, that would also put you in a deeper place of acceptance with other people that might have different mindsets or perceptions?
Yes, Katie. Thank you. Yes. I hadn't thought of it that way.
But, you know, we went into the core stuff, but I don't want to finish our conversation without really having a moment of sinking in, like we did with the last question,
mm-hmm.
and really experiencing the wonderful gift and pieces of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask you, what is the essence and the quality that you feel is your gift to coaching?
Calmness, peace, centering, and I do those things through meditation.
Okay. So then this should be easy for you.
Okay. What should be easy?
Well, you've got a full toolbox. So, like right now.
Say that again?
You've got a good toolbox.
Yes.
So, you know, just taking the moment right now, in this moment, being in the present moment, and just kind of feeling who you are in this moment and sinking into those qualities, the calm, the peace, the centering, and just feel that and nothing else. What are you experiencing?
I'm experiencing a feeling that's almost beyond words. I'm feeling peace and calmness and a place that's beyond or out of reach or of anything unlike myself, if that makes sense.
But it is you.
Yeah. It's a good, I feel like I'm in a good place right now.
Good.
It feels good. It feels peaceful. It feels strong. It feels solid. It feels connected. That's where
now,
I am.
Now, would it be okay for you to give yourself permission to be there more?
Yes, it would.
And if you are there more, what do you feel that it would do for you?
If I am there more, what do I feel it would do for me?
As well as your coaching business.
It would remove the stuff that I thought was there. It would disappear.
And how does that feel?
Pardon me?
How does that feel, having it removed?
It feels good. It feels, I can't explain it, Katie. It feels like there's no barriers to what I want to achieve. In this moment, that's what I'm feeling.
Can you trust that?
I think I can. I'm going to work at trusting that.
And do you feel like being there more will allow you to step out more and to be a coach rather than to become a coach?
Yes, yes. And that's what I was thinking as I answered your last question. Yes. When I said it would remove the barriers, yes, it would allow me to just step out and do it.
And I'm going to leave you with one last question. Are you ready to share your gift with the world?
Yes, I am.
That's great. I want to see you share your gifts with the world, Clara.
Okay, Katie, you will. You let me know how I can stay in touch, and you will hear from me.
You have got great energy. And I would just love to see you just keep moving forward in that.
Thank you so much. And again, you know, let me know how I can stay in touch, and you will hear from me.
Excellent. And I'm also listed on the website, ILCT's website, under referrals. So you can find me
What website is that, Katie?
The Institute for Life Coach Training's website.
Okay, I see lifecoachtraining.com. You're listed there.
Yeah, you'll find
me. And we'll also include Katie's contact information when we send out the recording for this call. So you'll have it. Well, we'll keep you guys connected.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
Thank you, Clara, for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Katie. Thank you. You've cleared up so much in these few minutes. Thank you.
Well, you did the work.
Okay.
So now that we've really looked at some mindsets and really how simple it is to connect with a place of being, I'm ready to take on some practical questions about branding. So let me look here through my list as I put my reading glasses on. Is Carolyn on the call? Is it Carolyn or Carlin? Okay, she may not be on the call. And then I have, okay, I know the female address. Is Dave on the phone? Dave put a question, I would like to hear more about fine-tuning a personal brand. Is David on the phone? He was star six to unmute. Okay, he is not responding. So I'll take it back to the beginning, because the three qualities that I had asked initially, going back to Essence, we're going to use that as our template for brand. So is there anybody on the call? We have time, for one more person to kind of talk through your brand. And as I'm doing that, that's going to give everybody else a clearer picture of really exactly what a brand is, because that can be confusing for people. So if anybody's working on defining their brand right now as a coach, if one person would like to step forward and ask about that, we can brainstorm a little bit. And it's star six to unmute.
This is Clara again, Katie. I think I'm working on my brand, but is it correct to assume that the three things you gave, you said three things I want people to know about me, is it correct to assume we use those three things to help create our brand?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And
okay.
As I look through some of the other branding questions on here, let me explain what a brand is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of people will think it's the logo or the tagline or the product or the service. Really what a brand is, what you brand somebody with, is the feeling they have when they walk away from you. You know, and we all have an emotional experience with a product or a service or an organization. You know, there's always that's what brand is. It's your personal experience. It's what you walk away feeling. It's what people walk away saying. So when people are defining their brand, yes, you have services. Yes, you have framework. But the brand is really the top, and it can be more than this, but you really want to focus on the top three characteristics, the top three things you want that person to feel and experience. So when they walk away, that's your brand. And I'll give an example. I was in a brand class, and one of the women there was working for a large corporation, and she was a Christian. And so she wanted to have a Christian brand, but she was working in an organization where it really wouldn't be appropriate going around and having conversations like she would outside of work. So when it came to her brand and trying to define what that brand was, the question was, what are the top three things you think of when you think of Christianity? What does it represent to you? And she said, compassion, acceptance, forgiveness. There's her brand. She can communicate those things without communicating it in a religious package, but she can still communicate the essence of those characteristics. So when somebody walks away with an experience with her, they can say, wow, she's really compassionate. She's really understanding, really accepting, you know, very forgiving. So that's your brand. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's just one example, but there's many different examples. And you know, there are companies out there that, you know, want to have their brand that don't necessarily have the best characteristics, but that's what they stand for. So anybody working out their brand as a coach, they need to look at the top three things that are most important to them that they want their clients to experience. And that's what you work off of. That's what you work off to communicate through your message, how you develop your tagline, the logo you choose, what you write on your website. Does it go back to those three things? So any questions about that? And Ellen, there were a couple questions about actual licensing, licenses or credentialing, and when you're able to actually start coaching. And I didn't know if you wanted to finish up the call explaining that.
Well, the credentialing stuff gets crazy in the coaching field, so I was going to send out emails. But
right.
We strongly believe that once you've got coach training, just start coaching. I know a lot of us who went through graduate school think we have to have X number of classes done before we can start to coach. And the reality is most of you are coming in with our students come in with incredibly strong communication skills. And the more you use them, it's like anything else. You become better and better as a coach. And the fact that unlike in the helping professions where you have to be licensed, in the United States, there are no requirements for that for coaches, which we could debate all day whether that's a good or a bad thing. But really, we like to encourage people to go out and really start believing in yourself as coaches and to coach, because coaching is really powerful. It's amazing.
And you mentioned the other day the analogy that Pat Williams uses as far as being a coach.
Yep. Yeah.
And
Pat basically says that, you know, you can read as many books and watch videos on golfing. But the way to become a very good golfer is to get out there and just keep hitting the balls. And the same with coaching. The more you can do, the more you believe that you are making a difference, because you will see it with your clients, and your coaching will continue to grow and get better.
Right. Absolutely. You know, so it's being in that place of being. And being allows you to do it. You know, becoming is always a place of refinement. You know, even the best golfers out there still have to practice and refine, and they have good days and they have bad days. And, you know, that's universal with, you know, all our skills and everything that we engage in. So, you know, being in that state of being allows us to get into that process of refinement and, you know, be the best that we can be with the gifts that we have naturally in our essence. But I want to thank everybody today for being on the call. I really, really enjoyed it, and everybody that participated and opened up and really was transparent, it was just awesome. So thank you. And did you want to say anything to finish up, Ellen?
No, I just want to thank you, Katie. I think you have given us all so much to think about and a lot of inspiration. So wonderful job. Thank you.
Thank you. And everybody, you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.